There is nothing worse than untapped potentials. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey everyone, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Lachelle Weemy, and today we get a chance to talk to Raquel Kalina, who is a life and relationship coach and somebody that really, really inspired me with her story. And one of the things that I love about you, Raquel, is that your passion is to help us to move forward. And one of the best things that I think that you've said in the past when we've chatted is, if you don't learn your lesson, you're going to repeat that same lesson over and over again until it happens. And I can't wait for you to share a little bit about you, your story, and how you can help people get from where they are to where they want to be and help them learn their lessons a little bit faster. So welcome to the Unstuck Podcast, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Very excited.
Yes. Okay. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about who you are, Raquel, and how you are trying to help people in the world today.
Okay. Well, I am a life and relationship coach. I started as a sales coach many years ago, but I felt like I was meant for more. I felt the calling to help women specifically, but I didn't know where to go. And all of a sudden, I realized that I had been in a toxic, abusive relationship and I had gotten out of mine. And I started learning everything that I could regarding toxic, abusive relationships, and because I didn't know my relationship was abuse until the day I left. I knew I thought he was a jerk. I thought he was toxic, but I didn't think it was abuse because my mother always told me, never let a man lift a hand at you. So for me, physical abuse was abuse. If there wasn't any physical abuse, I didn't think of it as abuse. And as I started digging down the path to healing and understanding what had happened and what I could have done wrong or how I could fix it, I fell into the rabbit hole of narcissistic abuse. And I started learning everything about what a narcissist is and their tendencies and their strategies. And at one point, I started reading about gaslighting. And one thing that he used to tell me was, you're crazy. And there was one point that in my life that I started actually believing that I was the one going crazy. And I kept asking myself, why did I do that? And why did I say that? And why is he reacting that way? And he kept turning everything around and trying to make me believe that I was crazy. And when I went through the rabbit hole, that was the key that made everything click. It was the fact that I was not crazy. He was trying to make me feel like I was crazy because that was the best way for him to manipulate me and make me feel beneath him.
Yeah.
So that that was the click when I realized what I had been through and I started digging down that hole. It was the fact that he called me crazy. That was the click.
And so your passion now is to help other women who are in toxic relationships. Yeah. Is that the main focus of how you serve people today?
Yes. I decided when the pandemic started that I was going to start my business. Yeah. And at first, all I wanted to do was help women understand. So I started making videos and TikToks and reels, trying to make women see themselves in different positions where they could recognize abuse without even knowing it was abuse. So I didn't do anything for like about a year and a half, but just start posting so women could recognize it. And then I had one friend and said, it feels like you're in my home. It feels like you're seeing everything that's happening in my home and I'm getting so identified with you and I'm starting to recognize that this relationship that I am in is abusive. And I said, that's exactly what I want. I want women that have no idea they're in an abusive relationship to recognize their abuse. Because until I don't help women recognize the abuse, then women can't start working towards leaving and becoming better. So I felt that my first step was to start making videos and reels and TikToks where people could see or read, depending on what it was, that it was abuse. Like, for example, the "you're crazy" was the one that actually hit me. So I started making things like that.
So you just been raising, I guess, awareness for people to help them understand, because like you said, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And if you are so close to it, it's in your face, but you can't see it for what it's worth because it's all you know, right? And sometimes that manipulation, they do, they make you feel like there's something the matter with you.
Yes.
And so it really can sabotage our ability to move forward. And I think that when we are in a relationship with people, when it's not a healthy, supportive, nurturing relationship, there's a down trickle effect to everything else in our lives. Don't you think?
Yes. And that was really, really bad for me, because at one point in my life, I was so depressed. I had gained weight. I was a size 8. Maybe for some, that's not a big deal. For me at that moment, it was hell being a size 8 and nothing fit. And I didn't want to buy any more clothes, but I didn't want to work out. I didn't want to eat healthy. I felt like I didn't love myself. I hated myself. Every time my sister would come and pick us up to go shopping, to go pick up the kids and take them out to eat, I would lay down in my closet and cry because I felt so bad. I couldn't even love myself. So I couldn't work towards getting myself into a better place. And that was the worst part of all. He broke me down to the point where I didn't even love myself.
And I'm going to just ask you this because I think that it's going to tie into what I mentioned at the very beginning. But when you identify that you are maybe in a toxic relationship, do you find that it's easy to recognize it in the other relationships that you have, or sometimes does it take a little bit for us to be able to kind of really, really recognize these patterns?
We don't want to recognize these patterns. That is the main issue, because you can have a friend outside of your circle or they could be close and they could be telling you what's going on. And you're like, no, he's not. You start defending him. So it's very hard to recognize, because with the gaslighting, which is that they twist your perception and make you think that what you're saying or thinking is not true. For example, if I found his phone and I said, who's this girl calling you? Why are you checking my phone? They twist everything around. But you violated my privacy. Yeah, but you have a girl talking. But you wouldn't have found that out if you weren't looking through my phone. So they twist everything around. So because you're not analyzing everything that is going on, because you're in your emotions, you're not noticing how they're twisting everything around to make it feel like it's your fault. And you actually end up believing it's your fault. Why did I, at the end of the conversation, what you're going to say is, why did I go into his phone? You don't want to dig into it. Yeah. You don't want the argument. You don't want to talk about the girl or the text. It's about, why did I get into his phone?
And there's a downhill effect to this, because you said that you gained weight, you were depressed. So tell me a little bit more about kind of the state of mind that you became engulfed in, I guess, from being in a relationship that maybe wasn't the healthiest.
Yeah. At one point in 2005, I was with him for 14 years. In 2005, we have moved into our own home. We lived in Puerto Rico, and I wasn't going to church at this point or anything. And God told me he's not the one. Audibly, I heard his voice. But I didn't know, because I wasn't looking for God at the time. I had been raised in church, but I thought it was, I heard something. Or it's a thought that just popped into my head. And I decided that I was going to fight for my relationship. And I kept fighting for everything to work. And I failed to recognize all the signs. And everything that he was doing was to break me down. He didn't feel good enough about himself, so he had to break me down so he could feel good enough about himself. And that happened financially, sexually, in every which way that you can think of.
So he broke you down financially. He broke you down sexually. He broke you down in all of these different ways in order to have control.
Financially,
because that made him feel better.
Financially, he tried. But he was never able to do it, because I always kept my finances apart. But he kept saying, we're a family. Why is our money apart? And I did lend him money at times, but I realized that he was only drinking it. So I stopped. So that one he tried, but he never got anywhere. Sexually, I would just get it over with. And after I left, I told my friends, I'm traumatized. I don't want to have a sexual intimate relationship anymore.
Yeah.
And then I started learning about how I was coerced into believing that it needed to happen and I had to put myself out there. And all these things that a lot of women think that it's normal because he's my partner or he's my husband. I learned that, no, that's not the right way. And when you don't want to, you don't want to.
And so I think you're going to inspire a lot of people because you were in this relationship for a long time. You said 14 years.
Yep.
And so was it like that from the very beginning or was it something that progressively got worse?
No. At the beginning, they do what is called love bombing. And it's exactly that. They bomb you with love and they make you feel like you're the best person they've ever met. Like you're their soulmate. Nobody's understood me this way. And everything was perfect. And then the problem is that little by little, they start putting down the love bombing and they start abusing you. But they start abusing you so gradually that you don't recognize that it is abuse. He can insult you and say, I was just kidding. Why are you taking things so seriously? And they're always finding ways to put you down, but it makes you seem like it's something normal. Like it's something that was just temporary and it keeps happening. But because our minds protect us from these things, we forget. And that is why one of the things that I usually recommend is journaling in these cases.
Yeah. You think? Well, one of the things that I've learned is that the human brain is different from other species in the sense that we can adapt really, really well. And I think that that's why so many of us don't recognize like how the good things, like how far we've come because we just adapt constantly to where we're at. Right.
Yes.
And so if your partner is gradually introducing withholding love and giving you kind of little digs over time, but in such a gradual way, your brain is just adapting to this new reality that it makes sense why you wouldn't be as aware of it. And then other people from the outside can look at it and say, girlfriend, that is not love. That is not normal.
Exactly.
But when you're in the middle of it, you don't see it. And what do you think keeps people in relationships that, how could I put this?
That hurt us?
You probably at this point didn't, like you said, even realize that it was abuse, but it just, it wasn't great. Like you would probably look at other relationships and think, gosh, I wish that was, you know, my life, but that was probably the extent of it. So there's probably a lot of people that just stay. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen with your own self and other people that you've worked with.
Well, there's a thing called trauma bond. And first of all, to start from the very beginning, these things, when we're attached to these kind of relationships, it's most of the time because we had some kind of childhood trauma and we've seen some of these behaviors in our past. So when we meet these people and start seeing these behaviors, they seem normal. So you don't tend to recognize them right away. That is the first thing. Then the second thing, it's because it's so gradual, you don't recognize that it is abuse. And then they hook you with what is called a trauma bond because abuse is a cycle and they give you love and then they abuse you. And then they give you love and then they abuse you. So when you're in the love part, everything is perfect and you forget the abuse.
But then
when you're in the abuse, you're craving the love. So you don't want to leave because he's been a better person before and you saw that he was a better person and you want to, you say it's possible for him to do it because I've seen him there and you keep trying to fix this person while they're literally breaking you down because you keep wanting that. The love, you want to be at the top. But the way to recognize this is if you don't know if your relationship is abusive, start journaling. Because when you're in the love part, you forget what you went through.
Okay.
And then when you go back and read it, when you fall into another time that you want to sit down and write, you go back and read it.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't remember that. Or I don't remember feeling that way or having him say exactly that. Because our minds are trying to protect us. And that's how it does it. It keeps certain things away from us.
That's remarkable. And I'm also guessing that when people stay in relationships like this, if they have been in long-term relationships, your confidence and your self-worth has been slowly, slowly whittled away over time without you even realizing it. So your confidence, your ability to leave, your ability to step out into your own is going to be greatly impacted by your belief that you're capable of it.
Yes, because they also program you to believe you can't be without me. You can't afford things without me. You won't be able, your kids won't have a father. They start painting the picture, trying to paint the picture of you can't, nobody's going to love you like I love you. Nobody is going to want you like I want you. And you start believing these things. I had two kids. I had moved from Puerto Rico to Florida. I was all alone. I didn't have friends. All I had was him and the kids. I didn't even make friends the time that I was with him, because I didn't want to bring people home. I worked on the road, so I didn't actually had coworkers. So it was just him and me. For him to say, how are you going to be able to afford rent here? When I was only working as a broker on commission, I was like, how am I going to make rent? But God provided. The moment I said I was leaving, I had one of the companies that I worked for, I was getting a $200 check. When the year turned, it turned into a $1,200 check. And I said, that's my rent. And I said, God, please find me a rent of less than $1,200. And God, sometimes it's so funny, it was $1,195.
Wow. That's amazing. And because you brought up your faith, I'm just going to ask you this, because I think sometimes we, and I honestly just would love to get your perspective. I don't have any opinion on this, but when we are a person of faith, and you have, you know, made a vow before God to marry someone, I've seen people in my life that I care about struggle with that promise versus God promises us to give us a loving companion to go through this life with. And so it's like the struggle of, well, I made this promise, but it's not great, but I made this promise. Like, what would you say about that? Kind of help our listeners who are struggling with that part of their faith and this journey of maybe being in a relationship that they shouldn't be in.
Well, in my case, I never got married. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get married. I had a dress in my closet for 11 years waiting for the wedding to happen. It never did. But I understand, because I've met people that say, I'm married, I can't leave. If I go to the church, this is what they're going to say, or this is what they've already told me. Mm-hmm. I am a believer. I do go to church, but I do not like people that are married to search for help in churches, because sometimes people take it too literal, and God does not want you to be. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. God doesn't want you to be in an abusive relationship. And because you got married, you shouldn't stay in an abusive relationship. And that is the wrong thing to tell somebody that is totally broken and is being, whether it's physical or emotionally being abused. That's not a place for you to stay. And if you are searching for God, ask God to lead the way, because God will lead the way. I am not, because I was not married. I can't tell you, as a married woman in an abusive relationship, you have to get divorced.
Right.
You have to be convicted to leave your husband in that case. I can tell you that it's abuse. I can tell you how to move on, but it's up to you if you're leaving or not.
Yeah.
I can tell you how it's breaking you down, what you can find on the other side, but you have to know that you have to leave when it's your time to leave.
I can't wait to hear more about this. And I want to hear more about what are some of the signs of abuse that maybe we don't recognize, as well as some of the things that you did personally, Raquel, to get yourself from where you were to where you are now. But first, you guys, I want to tell you all about this amazing program that I have put together just for you in order for us to have better connection, because I want to get to know you and I want you to get all of the answers that you've been dying to get from the people that I interview here. So I want you guys to take a listen and get my exciting news. And then we're going to come back here real quick and we're going to talk to Raquel and get the rest of her story. Lachelle here, and I just got to ask you, do you ever listen to podcasts or special training from gurus who are telling you exactly what to do, but you still have questions? Wouldn't it be amazing if you actually could ask questions to the people who are presenting to give you your personalized answer to how you can get into action and apply it to your unique situation? That is exactly why I created the Better Club Elite, which is a very special, very exclusive monthly membership that gives you access to those question and answer sessions that are going to get you into action and get you all lined up with everything that you need to start being better, doing better, and having better in life and in business. The support, the answers, and everything that you need to get you into action. So let's go. Okay, so Raquel, I want you to kind of give us an idea. I know that you said that you are, you know, big into Reels and TikTok and such, and so I can't wait to check you out when it comes to the social media part of it, but can you give us some examples that you haven't already touched on as far as what kind of things that somebody could look for or ask themselves, yeah, that sounds about right at my house?
The first thing that I can say that you have to understand is feeling. It's a feeling. You can love somebody as much as you want to love them, but if you're trying to tell them something or trying to say your goals or something that is important to you, and this person doesn't give you the importance or the push to push towards your goal, or doesn't make you feel comfortable, that is the first red flag. If you say, oh, I want to open up my own business. Oh, but you got a good job. If it's somebody who's constantly trying to keep you where you're at, that is a red flag right there. Because a loving person not only knows how to communicate, but also wants you to move forward.
Yeah. So I suppose it's easier to control someone when they don't grow and don't stay still. Yeah. That makes sense. Anything else that we haven't mentioned?
The most important thing to understand what abuse is actually understanding their strategies, the love bombing. Oh, I found him. He's my soulmate. But then everything started changing. And you have to understand all the tactics and all the methods that they use. And that's why I created the Breakaway Journal. It's a little book. It's more like a workbook than anything else, because it tells you about the different personalities, abusive personalities, not all of them, just a few. And then it starts talking about the strategies that they use. Love bombing, gaslighting, manipulation. It talks about feeling uncomfortable in the sexual intimacy part of it all. Because if you don't feel comfortable with your partner sexually or intimately, there is something wrong there as well. If you don't want to kiss your partner anymore, if you don't want to sleep with your partner anymore, there is something there that needs to be looked at, because we should feel in tune to be sexually active with our partner. And when we don't, there's another red flag right there.
Right. Because God does, he gives us this union between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, in the sense that he allows us to come together and experience this deep level of intimacy. Yes. And so he wants that for us, right? He wants us to have these loving relationships, these supportive relationships. He wants us to have this counterbalance in this world. And I think that so oftentimes we think maybe that that's just for someone else, or maybe it'll get better, just like you said, with the cycle. Like, well, I mean, I've seen this before, but, you know, he or she, you know, changed, and I know that they're capable of it, but then they just cycle back around, and it's just this constant. And then you hope, and then you get disappointed, and then you hope, and then you get disappointed. Am I right?
Yes.
I can't say that from personal experience. So I'm just going to say that from like my candidness, but from people that I've talked to, from people that I care about, and being a listening ear, I've seen this, and it's heartbreaking. And so tell me a little bit about your journey and how you were able to get out of this situation.
In my case, I felt the calling to leave, and I felt that everything fell into place. I left, but I was still broken. I still didn't believe in myself. I still didn't love myself. My drug became working out. I became totally obsessed with Beachbody and their workouts and their nutrition plans. And I lost 10 pounds and 10 inches on my first round. And I kept going at it till I felt like I wanted to feel. And when I got to that point, that's where I got the courage to start looking to other things to fix the other problems. Because the first thing that I did was what was bothering me. I couldn't stand to look at myself in the mirror. And I needed to work on that first. But I was, for years after I have left them, I was still not healed. I didn't understand that it had come from things that I had seen in my childhood. I still had not understood why he was the way he was, because I saw a different person when we started. But the thing is that that person never existed. It was always a mask. Mm-hmm. When we understand this, that's when you can start seeing them in a different manner.
Mm. Can you describe those just briefly, like those different personality types and the strategies that go around that? Would you just kind of give us a Reader's Digest version of that?
Well, in my case, I had to deal more with a narcissist. And there's a couple of different levels to the narcissist or subtypes.
Okay.
The most commons and the ones that I talk in the book are the covert and the overt. One is more obvious than the other. The covert narcissist is the one that you will never be able to tell from the outside. It's the type of person that is in the community. He's the person that everybody seems that he's very friendly and he's very abusive at home, but he is so gradually affecting the household that it's very hard to understand what is going on. And then there's this other one who is just also a narcissist, but it's more open to the people outside and people don't tend to like him. And he's always trying to get people to like him. There's also the sociopath. The sociopath can hurt you and have no remorse for hurting you. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid of the law and they're always trying to look for trouble. And then the couple of strategies that they use are like the ones that I've been mentioning, the love bombing, the gaslighting, the manipulation, reactive abuse. This one really hit hard. He would get me to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I started acting like a crazy woman. Like I would scream at him, push him, desperately trying to get to understand what the heck is in your head, dude. And I didn't know that that even had a name. And it was called reactive abuse. They get you to that point because if there's people around you, he can say, you see she's crazy? You see she needs help? Because we look like the abusers at that point. We look like the one with the mental health problems to other people when it's them making us look that way. So there's a lot of information and a lot of strategies that they use to make others think that it's you, for him to bring you down and for him to make you fall in love and think that he is your Prince Charming.
And that's very calculated, right? Because there's probably this, you know, when you're in that reactive state and you're not your best self, he could use that against you. Let's say if you have kids, or he could use it against you in the community and start to isolate you from your friends or your family, like saying, and so then it just draws you more into that dependence.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And they try to keep you away from friends, especially if it's friends that can read them and can see through the real person that he is. So they do that too. They get you afraid away from friends and family.
So when you were in your relationship, you said that the first thing that you did was you started to become aware. How again did you do that? How did you all of a sudden become aware that, hey, wait, this isn't right?
I didn't recognize that it was abuse till after I left. I started to become aware of how uncomfortable I was.
I hated the fact
that I couldn't stand myself anymore, let alone stand him. But it was, in my case, I left because of me. I had been with him for 14 years. My daughter was two, if I remember correctly, when I started with him. Mm-hmm. She had lived through all of that. And it was horrible for her. And then I had a son with him. And the first time that I realized that he opened his mouth to act like his father, I said, nope, I'm not going to do it to him. I already screwed my daughter up enough. Mm-hmm. We need to go.
And so you left, and that's when you really started to dive into the literature and the things that you were like, oh my gosh, like light bulb. Now all of a sudden this stuff's making sense. But I love the fact that you said that you left, even though you were still broken, or even though that you were not confident or all of the things, because that took a lot of courage.
Yeah. And I was alone. I didn't have any family. Well, my friends or my family, everybody was in Puerto Rico. It was really, really scary. And I understand that I did have my own income. There's a lot of women out there that don't dare to leave because he doesn't even let her work.
Right.
And for people in that scenario, it's even a lot harder, but it is possible to leave.
What would you say to somebody who's listening to this or watching your reels or your TikToks and they're like, you know, I see all of this. I see all of this, but I'm just too scared. What would the next step be?
The first thing that I would ask, if it was a person, you mean if they saw it, if they saw the reel and they thought that I was too scared, is to think, what would your life look like if you were not in that relationship? What is making you think that you're safer in than out? Because sometimes we stay in uncomfortable zones because they're familiar.
Yes.
And it's not because it's comfortable anymore. It's because you don't know any better.
Right, right. The unknown is too scary that you're willing to put up with the uncomfortable comfort zone.
Yeah. And it works with many things, and not only abusive relationships. When I was a smoker, I couldn't see my life without smoking a cigarette. And that was fearful. But it's just thinking, what would it get me, or where would I go if I didn't have this holding me back?
And, you know, I like literally just, I'm so grateful for your vulnerability and your wisdom and everything. And I know that there are going to be people listening to this right now, Raquel, that needed to hear this. And, you know, I also want to respect everybody's time, so we don't have all day, but I do want to know, what were you able to do on your journey to increase your confidence? Because you said that you were working on your beach body stuff and you got, you know, your body, but then you realized like, oh wait, there's definitely other things that I have been dealing with that I didn't realize that I needed to deal with, or, you know what I mean? Like there were things that I needed to deal with that I hadn't been. What would you tell somebody who just knows that they need to start basically healing themselves so that they have the courage to keep going and continue to grow?
Well, the first thing that you have to do is understand what you've been through. If you don't understand what you went through, you're going to do it again. And I did that. I left this toxic, abusive relationship, met another guy who love bombed me. And I believed he was the Prince Charming. I was like, oh my God, he's taking me out of where I was. And I'm going to go to such a better place. But because I didn't understand and I didn't recognize the signs, when I left the first one, I fell in it again. And it took me 2.5 years to actually recognize the things that were so freaking obvious. So the first thing that people have to know to move on is you have to understand. You have to learn what they do and how they do it so you can learn to recognize it if you see it in somebody else. I spoke to, I interviewed her on my podcast, and the one thing that she said, she was, I was at a party and this guy was trying to gaslight me, and I recognized it right away. And I felt so proud of myself, and I told him, don't gaslight me. And he was like, what? Because people do it and they don't know it has a name, and they think that you're not going to understand that they're trying to fool you. But when you start to recognize this, you can recognize it in family members. You can recognize it in a partner. You can recognize it with friends. Because sometimes we also have toxic friends.
Yeah. So I've heard the word gaslighting a lot lately, and I just want to make sure that our audience understands exactly what it is. You said that it's kind of a manipulation of words.
It is a manipulation of them trying to change your perception of reality. It comes from a movie from the 40s where the husband was trying to flicker the gas lights, and she kept asking what was wrong with the lights. And he's like, what are you talking about? They're flickering. No, they're not. And they do that all the time. Like they say, why are you being so-and-so? And you're like, I'm not doing that. Or you get offended and they're like, I was just kidding. Or I didn't say that. Or I didn't do that.
Yeah.
It's changing your perception to make it seem like you're going crazy. Like that couldn't have happened. I couldn't have said that. It's just twisting the conversation. It's another type of manipulation.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. And you've also said too that if you don't kind of start to heal those wounds that have maybe been there for a long time, like you said, you had some childhood ones that you never had actually addressed, you could possibly repeat some of this stuff. And so I think that I want to say this, you guys, so that you understand that there's nothing wrong with you if you feel like you're completely repeating patterns. It's just that it's maybe time to start thinking about what are those patterns that you are repeating and where do you think that the root of that is? Would you agree, Raquel?
Yeah. Sometimes we keep repeating the same mistakes until we learn our lesson.
Yeah.
So we have to learn what are the things that are making us uncomfortable of the people around us, whether it's a partner or a friendship, and seeing what is there. And until you learn to recognize them, you can keep falling into the same patterns again. It's just knowing and learning. And that was the reason why I created the book, because that's what I would have needed when I left. And it would have saved me so much time and suffering that I needed to create something. I started creating it as an ebook, but then I realized that people needed more. So it has questions, it has checklists, it needed to be written in so you could actually get out of it what you put into it.
And yeah, you work through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. And you guys, we're going to make sure that we have all of the information for Raquel's book and all of the ways that you can follow her on TikTok and Instagram and all the things so that you can be inspired by her and you can reach out to her if you feel like she's somebody that might be able to help you on your journey. Raquel, is there anything else that we haven't had a chance to mention before we pop off the call?
No, I think we basically covered everything else. But the one thing that I can say is don't leave it to chance. If you have something in your heart or in your mind that is telling you this is not right, mm-hmm. but you still don't think it is, find out. Look for information, because the smallest thing could let you know that it's something that is starting, and it could save you a whole lot of trouble. When something doesn't feel right, there's a reason for that. Don't let it go. Just dig into it a little more.
So sometimes I want to piggyback off of that real quick, guys. So sometimes you don't get an audio like message from God saying this isn't the person for you, right? Sometimes it's just this nagging gut feeling that this isn't right.
Yes.
And that's your sign from God, is your intuition, your inner self, the Holy Spirit that's inside of you saying this is not right.
Yep.
And so I think that we have to just trust that.
We have to learn to listen to that and trust that and not try and be mm-hmm. like, nah, stop putting excuses. Yeah. If you feel something is not right, there's a reason for that. If you feel a tug in your heart or something in your mind telling you something different, just dig into it. It could be wrong or it could be right. Mm-hmm. But until you don't look for it, you won't know.
And if you have that gut feeling that something's not right, what would be the first step to say, like, looking into it, or, you know, what would be the next step?
I also have a freebie. If you don't know if you're in a toxic relationship, I have a freebie. It's a free guidebook. It has 11 signs that you're in a toxic abusive relationship. So if you'd like, we could put that link.
Yes, we'll put that in the show notes so that people at least can start to maybe validate that gut feeling. And then you kind of know where you need to go next. So, oh my goodness, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for your vulnerability and your wisdom and everything. And one of the things that I ask every single podcast guest that I have come in is to give my audience a question to think about that's going to help them get from where they are to where they want to be. So what would you ask our audience to think about or ponder in between our time together?
Well, exactly that, to analyze how the people around you are making you feel. It doesn't necessarily have to be a partner. It could be a mother, a sister, a friend. Think about the people around you, how they're making you feel. And I made it this year that my word is peace. So whoever's not bringing you peace, you got to move away from that relationship, or at least put some space in between.
Yeah. So who in your life is not bringing you peace?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You guys, thank you so much for listening. And I am so excited to see you next week. Thanks, Raquel. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.